Larson rides the high line to a victory at Miami Homestead, while Bowman and Bubba show up second and third. These are our top stories on this edition of Fast Talk.
It's Fast Talk on the Performance Racing Network, presented by Toyota. For the latest Toyota Gazoo racing information, visit TGRNA.com. And by Sunoco. From NASCAR to your car, Sunoco Fuel helps your car reach peak performance. Now here's your host for Fast Talk, Doug Rice.
Welcome to the show. Glad that you've tuned in to this edition of Fast Talk. As they like to say in the South, we have a meet and what, Kyle Petty?
A meet and three?
Yes.
Yes.
We do.
Yes.
There's three of us in the studio, Kyle Petty, Alexis Erickson, and myself, and Brad Gilley, stationed in Fort Worth.
I was going to say potatoes. I don't
know. Oh, no.
Meat and three.
Meat and three, man.
You
get a meat and three vegetables.
Meat and three vegetables.
Although
that's right.
A lot of places include, among vegetables, biscuits, hush puppy, macaroni.
Yeah. And Jell-O and banana pudding are a vegetable in the South, too. Just thought I'd throw that out. I've seen that on a million.
Now I'm hungry.
I'm always learning something on this show, you know?
That's what we're here for.
We strive to expand your knowledge base. By the way, we are brought to you in part by Sunoco and Toyota, and we thank those folks mightily. Well, Kyle Larson broke through and got his first win of the 2025 season. And Brad Gilley, I think that surprises no one, except maybe it took half dozen races.
Yeah, it took just six races, which is funny. He even commented on this. He said, I think other than 2022, since I've been at Hendrick, and granted, that's still a small sample, this is the latest that we've gone into the season before going to victory lane. So six whole races before they win, but they got it checked off, and who knows what's going to happen from here.
Alexis, it wasn't the typical Kyle Busch, I'll lead three quarters of the race and then win. He had to kind of come on at the end.
Yeah. I mean, you know, you think about Kyle Larson, you think about Homestead, you think about like a dominating performance because that's what we're so used to seeing from him. But you're right. He didn't lead a whole bunch of laps. We saw Ryan Blaney lead, you know, the majority of the laps, unfortunately, have an engine failure that took him out. I'd like to have seen what would have potentially happened at the end of that race if the 12 car was still in it. But you're right. He had to kind of come from the back and work his way up. And he put on a heck of a show doing it.
Kyle, it's this Kyle Larson's way of saying, hey, I'm still here. Don't forget about me.
Yeah, maybe this is his shot across the bow at Christopher Bell, because I hadn't heard about Christopher Bell in the last couple of weeks. You know, and that's all it was, and now he's seen, apparently has disappeared a little. But we know that's the nature of the sport. It's a streak thing. The thing with Kyle Larson, and you spoke of it earlier, this is the latest probably that since he's been at Hendrick that he's found his way to victory lane. He's just always there. Always in the mix, always in the conversation, and he hasn't really been up to this point. And this was a good race. He had to race to win this race. It would have been interesting to see if Bowman hadn't gotten into the wall, what the race would have been like, because in dirty air, that's different. Catching someone and passing someone with this car are two totally different things.
Alexis, you said something before we came on the air about how you felt like Kyle Larson sort of baited Bowman to get into the wall.
Yeah, I mean, I found that to be very exciting to watch, because it was kind of like, you know, I heard like the Jaws music in the back of my head as I saw him, you know, rim ride and inches from the wall. And I'm thinking, as Alex Bowman, obviously a seasoned driver in the Cup Series, still, you know, what does that do to your mind when they come on your radio and say, oh, yeah, by the way, Kyle Larson is coming and he's coming quick. You better be prepared for it. And unfortunately, you know, he made a mistake and got into the wall. He beat himself up a little bit after the race and said he choked. I don't know if he choked. I mean, probably every driver pretty much got into the wall yesterday. He just happened to do it, you know, in an opportune time.
So I refer to that in the days that I used to race as the Earnhardt effect. You would see that three coming.
Right, exactly.
You would see that three coming, and he was in your head before he got there. And the thing is, everybody talks about Larson rim riding, riding the wall, riding the boards, getting it done. He's the only guy that can do it. And you're up there leading the race, and you see that car coming, it's already in your head.
Yep.
So whether you choke or not, it's that little bit of doubt, that little bit of he is the best, he is coming. What do I do now?
That's funny. I had a deja vu moment when you said that. Benny Parsons always used to say the same thing on this very show. He'd say you'd see Earnhardt coming, and you knew three things were going to happen. One, he was going to hit you, or he was just going to pass you. or he was going to wreck you.
Yeah, one or the other.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's good. That's the meat and three right there. That's the meat and three things.
You get the three choices. Kyle Larson won that race, his first of the year. There was a lot going on down in South Florida, including some wildfires. And besides the atmospheric interference that they provided, he said weather was a big thing.
And the only thing that seemed different to me was we had more cloud cover during the race. And there was runs early in the race when there wasn't as much cloud cover, and it played out like normal Homestead. And then I would say the last third of the race, there was quite a bit of cloud cover. So the pace was much faster, it seemed, in the car. You know, more people were kind of making fast entries into one work than typical in the fall.
So officially, he's looked at clouds from both sides now. Thank you, Kyle. Appreciate that. I never knew.
That was good. That was good. That was a good.
I never knew it was related to Joni Mitchell. No, is that Joni Mitchell?
Yeah, I think it is.
She looked at clouds from both sides. Alex Bowman finished second. Brad Gilley, what'd you think about that?
You know, I thought Alex Bowman had a good run, but to what Kyle was saying earlier and what Alexis was saying, once Larson started coming, Alex changed his racing line. He did some things that he wasn't doing to try and block Larson. He maybe should have just run his own race. But one thing I found fascinating, you know, people start to question and they say, hey, did Bubba Wallace not do a good job of saving his tires? No, I think he did. It's just Alex Bowman did a better job. Did Alex Bowman not do a good job saving his tires? No, I think he did. It's just that Kyle Larson did a better job. And I think this is what says a lot about where Larson is as a Cup Series driver, because he used to only know two speeds, and that was go or hit the wall. And now he knows how to manage that car. He put together 400 whole miles, and I think that's probably the bigger thing about this win, is that on that last restart, when he didn't just take the lead and got passed by a couple of cars, he just methodically worked his way back up and did it successfully.
Well, he did hit the wall too, though. Yeah, he hit the wall several times. He was just able to bounce back from it, you know?
That's part of driving there, it looks like, Kyle.
Yeah. It is now. And I found it interesting, the one shot they had on TV when it was when the race was over, when they showed his car in victory lane there. This is a composite body. It had worn through multiple layers of that composite body. It wasn't just a scrape. It had worn it down into a few layers. And to piggyback on what Brad just said about Bubba said in his post-race, I thought I conserved my tires. I thought I had saved enough. It felt like exactly like the second stage of the race when I was pretty good and I thought I was in the right place. And he said, I'm just going to have to go back and study the film and see where I went wrong. And that was cool to me to see that Bubba took that and said, okay, I didn't do everything I could do. I need to learn a little bit more.
Here's what Alex had to say about his runner-up finish.
Five was way better than us on the long run all day, and I just tried to get too much there. And hit the fence a couple times and bent the right front and then kind of lost feel of where I was at with the right front being bent and really hit the fence and let the five by. So, it's on me. Just need to do a better job there.
Am I the only one that thinks he sounds like he's huffing helium?
that was a weird microphone placement.
Yeah, it was. It's a little bit.
Okay.
A little bit.
Weird microphone placement. Okay, I'll go with that. Here's what Bubba had to say about being third.
It's just good to come out of here with a little bit of weight off your shoulders and good points today. So, I truly believe in this team and the direction that we're heading. And being at the front, I'm about tired of y'all talking about the 45 each and every week. Talk about 23 a little bit.
All right, let's talk about 23 a little bit. Where is he at? Kyle, I'll start with you. Where's Bubba at right now?
So I don't know. That's a good question. And we talk about the 45 every week because the 45's up front most every week. And that's why you talk about the 45. The 23 has not found that consistency. And that's what we've talked about for multiple years with this team, is put yourself in the top five or six week in and week out and stay there all day long. When he does that, then you'll talk about him on a consistent basis. But until that happens, one race. And this was a great race for him. I thought he drove a great race, a smart race. He put himself in position to win the race, put himself in position to win stages, do everything he needed to do. But to talk about him and for the media and everybody to jump on the Bubba bandwagon, you've got to do that week in and week out.
You know, I think the one thing that kind of jumped off the page at me was like his demeanor. We talk so much about Bubba and like the headspace that he's in and how sometimes he's his own worst enemy. I think yesterday was it the white flag lap, he tried to joke with his crew and say he had a tire going down and it was like a prank that he was playing on them, which was kind of cruel if you think about it. But it just shows that he's in a playful mood and So that must mean that he's in a good headspace. And I think when he's in a good headspace, that's going to help leaps and bounds. I mean, obviously, you have to have fast race cars and you have to have a good team behind you and all that. But I think he's always kind of been his own worst enemy. And he's getting better at that, I think.
So, Brad Gilley, are we getting a new iteration of Bubba Wallace?
So I look at it this way. I think they have some of the fastest race cars right now at 23-11, and he's taking advantage of that, but he needs to be able to execute. And for many years, Booty Barker was a great crew chief for Bubba Wallace. They needed Booty somewhere else, so they brought in a new crew chief from the Craftsman Truck Series in Charles DeNike. I think Charles DeNike and that chemistry between he and Bubba, they're starting to realize that, and they're realizing that early in the season. So if he can figure out a way to execute all the way to the end, then yeah, Bubba can very reasonably get back in victory lane because they definitely have the cars to do it right now.
Bubba is now seventh in overall points, finished third yesterday. He was the top finishing Toyota, followed by Chase Briscoe's quietly putting together a nice little streak here. He was fourth. Fifth belonged to Denny Hamlin. Tyler Reddick was eighth. 15th, Eric Jones. 23rd, John Hunter Nemechek. Ty Gibbs continues his struggles. He was 25th. Christopher Bell, 29th. And 33rd was Riley Herbst. And that is the Toyota Performance Report, brought to you by Toyota. For the latest Toyota Gazoo racing information, visit TGRNA.
Motorsports isn't complicated. It's made up of races where you go as fast as you can, as best as you can, and as sideways as you can. Our team, Toyota Gazoo Racing. Toyota makes some seriously fast cars, and they all have great drivers, ones that win, like win a lot. Denny Hamlin, Christopher Bell, they're all part of a big, happy family of speed demons. Now you're up to speed. You in? Follow the action at TGRNA.com. Toyota, let's go places. NASCAR is a registered trademark of the National Association of Stock Car Auto Racing, LLC.
We work hard to keep our cars looking great on the outside, but engine components need our attention too. That's where you can trust Z-Max Micro Lubricant to disperse carbon buildup in your engine and fuel system to keep your car or truck running at its peak. By soaking into the metal of your engine, Z-Max Micro Lubricant improves performance, extends engine life, and reduces emissions. Trust the many customers who've said, "Thanks for saving my engine." Find out more at zmax.com or follow us on Facebook and Twitter.
I'm Ryan Blaney, and you're listening to Fast Talk on the Performance Racing Network.
Dale Earnhardt, he's almost been deified. There's a mystique about him that's never been attached to any other driver, including your dad.
I think there's two things for Dale Earnhardt that make him who he is. He was that guy that's your neighbor. I don't care if you live in a mobile home. I don't care if you live in a mansion. He's that guy that was your neighbor. He's the guy that was out in his yard planting his plants. He's the guy that was out there mowing. He's the guy that was out there doing it. He's the guy that drove the truck. He's the guy that got up under the car and changed the gear. He's the guy that put on a uniform and jumped in that car and became your hero on a Sunday afternoon. And you could identify with that. He's really that last guy. And he is, in the words of Tom Wolfe, last great American hero, the book that was written about Junior Johnson. He is that last guy to a lot of people. And he was going to have that following no matter what. It moved to a different level because of what happened at Daytona. Billy Joel, only the good die young. And that's the way you remember it. So I think that moves you to a different place too.
Not too early to start looking at the point standings in the NASCAR Cup Series because we've got a half dozen races in the book and we're starting, I think, to form opinions about teams. And just a quick tertiary glance here of the top six in points. William Byron, Kyle Larson, Alex Bowman, Tyler Reddick, Christopher Bell, Chase Elliott. Alexis, what do four of these six drivers have in common?
Well, you've got Hendrick Motorsports.
There you go.
I mean, Hendrick Motorsports is four out of the top six. With Chase Elliott being six, that's curious to
yeah.
me.
Yeah, that's yeah. Quietly. Mm-hmm. But yeah, because I would have not pegged him to be top 10.
Right.
Yeah, you know what I mean? I mean, if you just threw it out to you with what we've seen so far this year, I would have not pegged that.
No, I don't think it at the end of any race we've been going, wow, this is Chase Elliott's chance. Yeah. Blah, blah, blah. It just hasn't panned out. Jeff Gordon's a pretty big wheel there at Hendrick.
You know, we've had a couple races where all four of the cars in the top eight or ten, and You know, it's a finicky sport because, you know, you want to get off to a good start, get into a good position in points so that you're not on your heels and playing catch up. So the nice thing is when you get a start like this and you're up there in the points, you know, it's the fine tuning and what you're chasing is, you know, victories.
So Brad Gilley, if Hendrick Motorsports is a family, traditional family unit, who is Jeff Gordon in that family?
I would say Jeff Gordon is. I would say Jeff Gordon is the dad. That would put Rick Hendrick, say, as the grandfather. So I'm going to say Jeff Gordon is the dad to all of these young drivers that they have between William Byron, Alex Bowman, Kyle Larson, and Chase Elliott. That's where I put him in the family unit.
Kyle,
yeah,
you okay with that? You've been around these family racing hierarchies.
I think he's the fat Italian grandmother. Okay. Yeah, he just gathers them all around and pulls them into him and hugs them and cajoles them, because we see him post-race. You see him walk up to the drivers and talk to them and give them some advice and say, you know, don't worry about it. Let's move on to the next one. He's a leader in that kind of way, I guess. You know what I mean? He's the person that they go to. He's that person. So I'm going to say the fat Italian grandmother.
All right. Besides you. Dad and fat Italian grandmother. I think that could be any ethnic group inserted here, but go
ahead. For sure. I mean, you know, I could certainly see those two reasonings. I could also see him, you know, kind of being the mom, like you said, like babying them a little bit, but not, you know, in a bad way, but in the way that's okay, helping their self-esteem, helping push them along, making sure that they have everything that they need, that kind of thing. So he has a bit of a motherly touch too, I think, to them.
You know, somewhere along the line, I wanted to work in, you know, the drunk uncle, but I can't. Not for him.
He's not. He's not the crazy uncle.
That you hope arrives late and leaves early.
Yes.
But
this is an interesting line of questioning, I have to say. I did not know we were going to be going here.
I'm curious about Hendrick, because it feels like in the last couple of years we have talked so much about Gibbs, and Penske has had these two teams in the playoffs and they're winning back-to-back titles, that we've kind of forgotten that there's this huge complex 2 miles from Charlotte Motor Speedway that is kind of the motherland of all championships.
Yeah. And you know, I look at it and we'll go back to this. And I think they've been quietly very successful. Very successful. Because if we go back a number of years, they've basically revamped everything and put a group of young drivers in there and said, we're committed to William Byron. We're committed to Alex Bowman. We're committed to these guys. And we're going to ride this horse until it starts to pay off. And it's quietly paid off. They've got a couple of championships with Chase, with Kyle Larson. They've got tons of wins. They continue to get it done. Not in the flashy way that we think of Jimmy Johnson or that we think of Jeff Gordon and that. It's just been that workmanlike process. But they're right on that cusp of really being able to explode.
At one point, the driver lineup for Hendrick Motorsports was Jeff Gordon. Yeah. NASCAR Hall of Famer.
Yep.
Casey Kane, pretty good driver. Yep. We're going to see Casey run again at Rockingham in the Xfinity race. Jimmy Johnson and Dale Earnhardt Jr.
Yeah, think about that.
They had three Hall of Fame drivers racing there at one time, and Casey Kane is no slouch.
That's right. But they went from that lineup to almost every driver under the age of 24.
Right.
Yeah. You know what I mean? That's a huge rebuilding process.
So, Brad, how many
drivers are winning?
Yeah. Yes. How many Hall of Famers do they have right now?
Well, I would say to me, a championship is a Hall of Famer. Yes, so that's Kyle Larson and that's Chase Elliott. I think William Byron and Alex Bowman are both unrealized. But remember, this is a team that won nearly a third of the races last year. They won 11. They've already won a third of the races this year. I know it's a smaller sample, but they've been able to put all their drivers in victory lane over the past couple of seasons. And I think that's a good thing. But again, it's not like we're seeing a lot of flash like we saw at the end of the season with Penske or like what we saw with Joe Gibbs Racing. They're just there all the time, ready to annoy you just when it counts as well.
Yeah, and to that point, like you talk about winning 11 races, doing all this stuff, and it just goes, they didn't win the championship, so you think, okay, they had a terrible year. Mm-hmm. That's because the standard that we hold Hendrick Motorsports to is, we used to talk about it with Jimmy all the time. Mm-hmm. You know, we hold him to such a high standard. When he runs second and third, that's a huge disappointment. And for them to put in those 11 win seasons, to win a third of the races, to win, have a guy that wins five or six races and not win the championship, that's a disappointment to that team, and not to any other team, but to that team.
Alexis, do you think the title, you got this right last year. I'm going to give you credit. Ooh. You said early last year you felt like the championship ran through Team Penske. Where is it? Where does it have to go through this year? Keeping in mind we still have 30 races left to go, but
yeah, I mean, that's an extremely difficult question to answer.
But you can do it
this early on.
We have a lot of faith.
You know, conventional wisdom would say you ride the trends, right? And the trends are still Team Penske. I mean, even when you look at the bad luck that Ryan Blaney has had, he has been super fast. And once he gets that monkey off his back or whatever, he's going to be winning some races. And even when you look at the years past that Penske has gone on to win the championship, they didn't look the strongest at this point in the season. That was not who we were pointing out, saying, hey, they're going to win another championship. With that said, it could go anywhere. I mean, I'm just, you know.
No, and listen, I agree with that because I'm going to say this. In past years, way past years, if we go way back, under the different point system, it was easier to watch a trend or to try to figure something out. And this, we're watching the NCAA tournament right now, and we're seeing these upsets week in and week out. You know what I mean? That's just the way. And once you get to the playoffs and those last 10 races, that's where it all counts. That's where Penske seems to be able to race. We used to talk about Jimmy Johnson being able to race the playoffs better than anybody else. That's where the Penske organization seems to come on and shine. So these races, these first 30 or first 26 races, we're just setting ourselves up for the playoffs. So it's really hard to kind of say, does it have to go through Penske? Does it have to go through Henry? By the time you get there, there's no telling who it is.
So, Brad, is it just too early to even start thinking about this?
Well, if you ask me today, I would say absolutely not. I don't even think they had that same Phoenix performance when we were there a couple of weeks ago. But think about this. Joey Logano still doesn't have a top 10. Ryan Blaney has had a DNF in the last three consecutive races on the schedule. All four Penske cars, and I'm counting Josh Berry with Wood Brothers, had incidents yesterday. Austin Cindric and Joey Logano coming off of pit road. Joey Logano and Josh Berry trying to, you know, there was a four-wide situation. They end up getting turned around. Ryan Blaney has another blown engine. I mean, it was almost a comedy of errors for them yesterday, so I don't think I could sit here today and say that. But again, like Alexis said, wait till the end of the season.
All right, so 30 weeks to go. We'll revisit this in about 10 weeks and see where we are. Has Trackhouse gone off the track? We'll talk about that.
This is Kyle Petty for Echo Park Automotive. As you might imagine, I know a thing or two about cars, and I'm here to tell you about a whole new way to buy a car, truck, or SUV. Did you know that Echo Park Automotive has over 95,000 five-star reviews? On top of that, every car that Echo Park Automotive sells goes through a 190-point inspection to make sure that it looks and drives like new, so you leave happy. It's even in their name, Echo Park Automotive. Every car, happy owner. The official used car dealer of Speedway Motorsports.
Imagine the roar of the engines, the smell of burnt rubber, the electrifying energy of the crowd. It feels like America. It's the Food City 500 NASCAR weekend, April 11th through the 13th. It's racing the way it ought to be. This year, it's a triple header weekend with the thrill of trucks, Xfinity, and Cup racing packed into three heart-pounding days. Visit BristolMotorSpeedway.com for tickets and details.
I'm Ricky Stenhouse Jr., and you're listening to Fast Talk on the Performance Racing Network.
Hi, I'm Ryan Blaney, a third-generation race car driver, and we dedicate a lot of our time to going as fast as possible. But when my grandpa was diagnosed with Alzheimer's, it was a very unexpected bump in the road for us. It's important to notice if older family members are acting differently, experiencing problems with their memory, or having trouble with routine tasks. Early detection of Alzheimer's can give your family time to explore support services, make a plan for the future, and access available treatments. If you or your family are noticing changes, it could be Alzheimer's. Talk about seeing a doctor together.
Here's Christopher Bell.
My Toyota Camry TRD race car isn't cheap to build and prepare. I have a pit crew that maintains and fixes my equipment. I have a spotter high above the track watching my back, talking me through turns and potential dangers on the track. I physically train to handle the stress of driving. And I have software helping my crew chief and engineers make the right strategy calls. And with all this, I never take my eyes off the road, and neither should you. One distraction can change everything in one instant.
Fast Talk presented in part by Sunoco. From NASCAR to your car, Sunoco Fuel helps your car reach peak performance. Mentioned Trackhouse as we left after the last break, and want to dive in and give a little bit of a look to this team, which is always very attractive. They have a lot of things going on at Trackhouse Racing. They have interesting drivers. They have an international feel, and they also have three drivers that are 14th or lower in the NASCAR points. Brad Gilley, is Trackhouse capable of rallying from kind of a sluggish start here, and we'll be talking about them more winning races, or are they what we think they are?
Well, a week ago, we were talking about how good they were because two cars finished in the top five at Las Vegas Motor Speedway. And then this week, look, Chastain's never been that great at his home track of Homestead, but to finish like below 30th and just run there all day, that was awful. Daniel Suarez didn't have a good day. I'm not ready to throw Shane Van Gisbergen into the Trackhouse conversation yet, even though he's one of the drivers. He's still developing. We'll talk about him again when we go to Mexico City in June. But they need to find consistency everywhere. They need to qualify better. I think those are the two biggest things. What kept Chastain out of the playoffs last year, other than not winning in the regular season, is they were qualifying about 20th every single week, and he never collected any stage points for the most part. So they need to find that. They need to find speed on Saturday, and they need to have it on Sunday more often.
Kyle Petty, Ross Chastain, Daniel Suarez, Shane Van Gisbergen. That's their three-headed monster.
You know, they were so flashy when they came in. You know, you come in with Pitbull, you came in with neon signs, you come in with all that stuff. It's been copied by some other teams. Some of this stuff has, but they've seemed to have lost a little bit of that shine and a little bit of that luster. And that when they got on that hot streak with Ross, and they got on that hot streak, and Daniel was running pretty good, that momentum just propelled them through the end of that year. They were like a runaway train that year. And somewhere during the off season, between that year, you know, they get Rick. Was going to set down Ross and talk to him about Reagan. You know, did Ross take a step back? What happened? I mean, because it seems like things changed a little bit. And we heard right before Daytona that Pitbull was stepping out. They've had some management changes.
With almost no ceremony.
Yeah, management changes, ownership change. And Justin Marks had a vision and is working that vision. It's headed in whatever direction he wants it to. But on the racetrack, they're not having the results to back up what they had done before. And when you come out and you're that shooting star, yeah, you cause something, but you got to back it up at some point in time. And they've not been able to back it up. And I don't know what the reason. I think a lot of it is like Brad said, they don't show up with speed. And we heard Bubba say yesterday, we showed up with speed, and it continued all weekend. Showing up with speed is the cure all for everything.
You know, you look at that team. They have four top tens among all three drivers this season. And so they are not having any sustained, prolonged success, to which Kyle alludes to. And I think that, you know, not only hurts in certain areas, but it certainly hurts momentum. And so they, you know, they need to step on it. I think out of those three drivers, Daniel Suarez is the one that's on the hot seat. Connor Zilich is waiting in the wings. Everybody knows that name. Everybody knows that he's the next hot shoe, you know, contracted through Trackhouse, through Chevrolet. If I'm Daniel Suarez, I'm a little bit worried right now.
I think there's reason for worry. Kyle used the word flash a moment ago, and that's the way I always thought about that team. They're sexy. They've got international flavor, and they have all of this. But there was an 80s band called Quarter Flash.
Ooh.
And that means someone who appears flashy but actually is not, because you are only three-quarters substance, and you are one-quarter flash.
There we go.
And I'm starting to think, Brad Gilley, their slice of flash may be bigger than their slice of substance.
I was going to say, do you have their greatest hit CD? But
I think they actually did a Spanish version of Harden My Heart.
All right, there you go. All right, let me throw this out, all right? So part of Trackhouse or Trackhouse Roots, part of it is in Chip Ganassi Racing.
Yeah.
Are there any different than what Chip Ganassi Racing was when they were here? Good for a win or two per season, you know, good for like, you know, hey, you belong. But honestly, are they any better or any worse than what Chip Ganassi was?
That's a great question, because as you say, they morphed out of that. So is it in their DNA? Is that part of where it's at? And I don't know. That's a really good question. I'm going to say this, as you're talking about Connor Zilich and you're talking about, you know, the drivers, and it is really, really tough for us on the outside looking in, but it's tough for that team. I'm going to say this from the inside, to evaluate driver performance when team performance is not there. You can't, are we just saying it's the quarterback's fault? Let's get another quarterback. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it may not be the quarterback's fault. We see that all the time. The easiest people to get rid of are the crew chiefs and the drivers. They're the easiest people. But if it's more, as Brad says, if it's more in the DNA of the organization, if it's more in the DNA, where do you dig back and how do you fix that?
You know, I'm curious from like a manufacturer standpoint, because like every manufacturer has like their flagship team, right? Chevrolet's is clearly Hendrick Motorsports. Who's number two? Is it Trackhouse? Is it, you know, is it RCR?
They've won more races than RCR.
Well, right. But when you think about manufacturer support specifically, like how much are they getting? How much is that hurting them or not hurting them? I don't know. You think about manufacturers in the top teams, you think Hendrick, Chevrolet, Penske, Ford, Gibbs, Toyota, and those, as we just talked about in the break, are the three powerhouse teams that I don't think anybody else is in their stratosphere. So when you talk about that, how much of that is a potential lack of not being that number one manufacturer team?
So who has more clout when they pick up the bat phone? Justin Marks or Richard Childress? No, Hendricks and another.
Yeah.
He has a Superman phone or whatever.
Well, I mean, you know, Richard Childress is a legacy team. What does that bring anything with it? They've been with Chevrolet for decades. I mean, what does that mean? Does that carry more weight? I don't know.
No, yeah. So listen, I will put it this way, and I'll just throw it out there to you. If you look at legacy teams like that, and if you look at Roush as a Ford legacy, or the Wood Brothers as a Ford legacy, if you looked at Petty Enterprises as a Chrysler legacy, if you look at Junior Johnson or Childress as a Chevy legacy, nobody gives a rat's rear end about legacy, okay? Because we live in a time when it's, what did you do for me last week?
Yeah,
What did you do for me last week? And last week, Kyle Larson and Chevrolet kicked everybody else's butt. So you're king of the mountain right now. And that's the way it is. And when we get to the end of the year, if Hendrick again wins 10 or 12 races, they're king of the mountain. When you're comparing your team winning one or two races to Hendrick winning 4, 5, 10, 15 races, you're always going to be number two. That's just the way it's going to be. And I don't see any of these other Chevy teams or Toyota teams or Ford teams taking that supremacy away from the Penske's or the Gibbs or the Hendrick organization, because they're going to have to do it not only one year, they're going to have to do it multiple years to climb that ladder and get ahead of them.
All right, I want to put a button on this discussion, but we need to take a break before we do that.
Okay.
So we'll do that. Right. We'll come back. We'll talk a little bit about Martinsville and about the man down under.
From fueling NASCAR champions on the track for over 20 years to innovating 94 octane, the highest octane on the market, performance is what Sunoco does. All Sunoco fuel at the pump meets the same top-tier standards as the fuel used in NASCAR. From the track to your tank, you can trust Sunoco to help your vehicle perform at its peak.
Hi, it's PRN's Brad Gilley. Did you know you could take PRN with you anywhere? That's right. By downloading the PRN mobile app, you can listen to our live race broadcast from anywhere. Make sure you don't miss a second of the action from the track. Download today for station listings and on-demand access to your favorite studio shows like Fast Talk, The Pit Reporters, or Garage Pass. Get all the latest racing information at your fingertips with the PRN mobile app. Download today, available in the Apple App Store and on Google Play.
I'm Kyle Busch, and you're listening to Fast Talk on the Performance Racing Network. It's hard to believe in this day and age in the United States of America that children are hungry.
Our time on this planet is short. We have to give back to those in need.
Every child has a chance, no matter what obstacles they may encounter.
Never have we been taxed more as a society to help kids the way we are right now.
Speedway Children's Charities raises money through several different avenues. My favorite is the gala.
It's one of those can't-miss events for everybody who attends. And I've been able to raise and distribute over $60 million.
When you have 50 different organizations receiving grants from Speedway Children's Charities, that's far-reaching. And some people think, well, I don't have much money to give. I say, $50 is a lot to give.
At Speedway Children's Charities,
our mission is simple.
Help every child we can.
Because all children
deserve joy.
And hope.
And love.
And if one child is still in need,
then there's still work to do.
Chat about Martinsville. That's the next stop of the NASCAR Cup Series this coming Sunday. But before we get there, let's kind of finish our discussion about Trackhouse Racing, which we all agree is an attractive entity. They have a lot of spark. And Brad Gilley, they had one of the most sparky drivers in the world a couple of years ago in Shane Van Gisbergen. And they still have him as a full-time driver. If his stock at one time was selling at $500 a share, what's it going for now?
Oh, I think it's less than that now, but I think it has the potential to skyrocket. I feel like there are a lot of people who were making their preseason predictions saying that Shane Van Gisbergen would make the 2025 NASCAR Cup Series playoffs. The reason being, we have five road course events in the regular season, six total with the Roval at Charlotte Motor Speedway. So you still have Mexico City. You still have the Chicago Street Course, Sonoma Raceway, Watkins Glen to go for Shane Van Gisbergen. And so I feel if he can put that car in victory lane, then while his stock might be down from that 500 right now, it could go well above it sometime midsummer.
Well, you think about that in like, you know, the whole situation with Josh Berry. What was his stock before Las Vegas, and what is his stock now? You know what I mean? And that would be the same case with Shane should he get to victory lane on a road course. So we know how good he is at road course racing. Obviously, you don't ever want to put all of your eggs in one basket, but for him, I think it's the clearest line to the playoffs.
But you see lots of teams do that. We used to see JTG put all their eggs in the road course baskets when they had Marcus Ambrose, and then when they had A.J. Allmendinger. And you see it with college racing with A.J. Allmendinger when they go to the road course. You pick and choose. You see it with Front Row when they go to the speedways with Michael McDowell. You pick and choose the races. The one thing, and Brad keeps mentioning Mexico City, what we saw Shane do at Chicago was go into a racetrack that nobody had any experience on, and he was so much better than everybody else. He adapted so well. So to go to Mexico City where no one has that experience, will he be able to repeat that performance from Chicago? And odds are, yes. Odds are on, yes. And we go back to COTA. He led a lot of COTA. Strategy and the way it played out, it didn't put him in the right place. But here's a guy who goes into the season, and if I'm Trackhouse, I know I've got five shots of making the championship and six shots of winning races when you throw in the Roval.
All right, where we're headed this weekend, Alexis, probably isn't one of the things for Shane Van Gisbergen's thinking.
but I'm going to throw something at you.
It
quite possibly could.
It does.
Because we've seen Marcus Ambrose, and we've seen Juan Pablo, and we've seen those road racers adapt to Martinsville so much better than we ever anticipated.
I think it's the braking, right? Yeah. That is involved in short track racing that kind of mimics the same type of style that you would get on a road course. But yeah, I mean, Martinsville, certainly when you think about Martinsville, or at least when I think about Martinsville, the first name that pops into my head is Ryan Blaney.
Yeah.
And boy, does that team need a good finish. So hopefully, you know, we'll see some shine out of the number 12 team this week. I'm curious how many times you think we're going to hear hot dog mentioned on the broadcast this weekend. Like, what's the over under on the words hot dog being mentioned this weekend.
More than the times that we heard the TV crew reference drivers' names that start with B.
Yes.
Oh,
yeah. Okay. Yes. Yeah.
Which nice. Might be the most annoying thing that I've heard in a long time.
I have to say, that's, you know, sorry, Alex Bowman, but I was really glad you didn't win, so we didn't have to go through that for another week. But yeah, I mean, Martinsville, you know? Yeah.
All right. Brad, who could get fat at Martinsville besides eating 15 Pinkies hot dogs? Who needs a good meal at Martinsville right now?
Well, again,
can do it.
Yeah, three DNFs in a row for Ryan Blaney, and he's got two wins in the next-gen car at Martinsville. Six top tens since we've been running there in this particular car. But I think there are a handful of other drivers. Look, Kyle Larson could do it again. Chase Briscoe. Don't sleep on him. Yeah. I feel like they finally got the finish that they needed at Homestead Miami Speedway. Five top 10 finishes at Martinsville in the next gen car. And I think he's with a much better team right now. He would be the one that no one's talking about right now that I put on my list.
Yeah. And you bring up Ryan, and I, as soon as you said it in my mind, Ryan's the guy. Ryan went straight to the top, but I look at Chase Elliott for the Chevy camp. Chase Elliott has always had solid runs there. I mean, he just kind of clicked with that place. And listen, I'm going to throw the other one in the mix, Denny Hamlin with Toyota. Denny has always been – if we throw these guys in the mix, these guys, those three drivers have been in the mix up there so many times over the last five or six years. And with this car especially, they've all been in the mix. So it'll be interesting to see if one of those guys that we haven't really spent a lot of time talking about – Denny or Chase pop up there.
I'm going to throw Josh Berry in the mix too.
Yeah,
he won
a
super late model race there, the biggest super late model race they have. He also won there in the Xfinity Series. I mean, if he continues to qualify well, which that team is doing, I think he's got, you know, Penske is that being a satellite team of Penske is really, really great at Martinsville. I think he has the potential to have a good run too.
I feel bad for myself because now I'm putting Denny Hamlin over here in this category with gray-haired drivers that really need to win to show that they're viable again. That room's getting crowded, by the way.
Oh, listen, it's that cyclical thing where that room gets crowded sometimes.
I mean, that room's getting crowded. Brad Keselowski is over there, and he's having coffee with Kyle Busch. And Denny Hamlin's saying, what are you guys doing in there?
It's almost been a year.
When does the court of public opinion turn around on Denny, or does it? Because we've seen it many times with so many drivers. And we've talked about it. Jimmy Johnson, Jeff Gordon, Kyle Busch going to RCR, even Brad Keselowski, you know, going to his own team at RFK. When do we start hearing more cheers for Denny Hamlin than boos? Wow. Or do we?
I think Denny's boos come outside of the race car. Jimmy's boos came from what he did. There's a tipping point where our fandom is like, man, that's great that you can win. Oh, wait, you won too much. We want you to stop. I'm not worried about that with Denny.
Yeah. And Brad said it. We're approaching a year. That year mark may be the year mark where people begin to feel sorry for him. You know what I mean? But how can you feel sorry for him? I mean, did I just hit the table?
Yeah, you did.
Like that?
Yeah. Stop it.
So, he's won a million races. He is a great race car driver. And we, all race car drivers get to this place in their career. We saw it with Kevin Harvick. You saw it with Jimmy Johnson. You saw it with Jeff Gordon. It's just a place you get. And at the same time, we're talking about the waning years of him. We turn the other way. And you look at the Connor Zillich, and you look at these guys. There's so many young drivers that are coming in. You've got to get out of the way at some point in time. And that's not what a driver ever wants to hear, but you've got to step aside because there's great talent coming too.
All right, Denny Hamlin, that's an interesting case. That's a great question to bring up, Alexis. I think it's a while before, but it can happen because I never thought it would happen with Kyle Busch.
Yeah.
That he would become beloved, and now – I purposely listened at the driver intros at Vegas. Second biggest cheers.
Yeah.
Kyle Busch.
Crazy.
I didn't see that coming down the line, so there's hope for Denny Hamlin. Hey, coming up, we've got our green flag, black flag, and one last thing.
Whether your engine runs daily or only when you need it, Z-Max Micro Lubricant is the force you need against carbon buildup that can damage your engine. Combustion causes carbon and other harmful deposits to build up in your engine, fuel system, and transmission. And carbon is like sandpaper rubbing against your engine's internal parts. You don't want that. You want Z-Max Micro Lubricant. It soaks into metal and keeps your vehicle running at peak performance. Find out more at ZMAX.com or visit us on Facebook and Twitter. Protect your engine to the max with Z-Max.
It's not about the cars. The speed. The action. It's not about the party or the long weekend. It's about them. The ones that gave everything. This Memorial Day weekend, we honor the fallen at America's Home for Racing.
The 66th running of the Coca-Cola 600.
I'm Martin Truex Jr., and you're listening to Fast Talk on the Performance Racing Network.
It's Bristol.
Now the green flag is waving. We're underway in the Food City 500.
Way too much fun early in the going here at Bristol. Second now belongs to Kyle Busch.
Michael McDowell makes contact with Tyler Reddick. Reddick is spinning. Will he make contact with the inside wall? He gets hit in the driver's door by William Byron.
From the top all the way to the bottom. Big move by Josh Berry. He wants to lead this race.
The Food City 500 from Bristol. Sunday, April 13th, 2 Eastern on PRN. It's Bristol.
Jesse Love goes and cuts down in front of Josh Williams. Austin Hill cannot get the outside line going.
Now he drives up beside Jesse Love. Sam Mayer is going to lead that lap as the pack heads back to one.
Ryan Sieg moving all over the racetrack, upside, downside, trying to block Justin Allgaier, successfully so at this point.
I love tap in turn two. I love tap in turn three.
The SIAPS 300 from Bristol, Saturday, April 12th at 4:30 Eastern on PRN.
Thanks again for tuning into the show. We greatly appreciate your patronage here on Performance Racing Network. Show brought to you in part by Toyota. The latest Toyota Gazoo racing information. Visit TGRNA.com. Time now for us to visit this department.
It's time for another edition of Green Flag, Black Flag.
It's the magic moment once again. We got several carefully prepared statements that we're going to read for our panel here today. They will mull those over, think about them a little bit, and they'll either give it a green flag because they agree. There we go. Or a black flag. Okay. A red flag maybe or whatever. Let's start with Kyle Petty today. You love it when we start with you first. Chase Elliott is now the fourth seed at HMS, Hendrick Motorsports.
But number one in your heart. Just always remember that. Okay. You know what? I'm gonna say black flag. I'm gonna say black flag. Yeah, I'm not sure they have seeds over there yet. Even though that Larson continues to just dominate.
Yeah. What do you think, Brad?
I will say black flag as well, and I was thinking the exact same thing as Kyle Petty. He just happens to be the lowest among the four, and if you're six in the standings and the lowest among the four, I don't think that's a bad place.
Doug Rice.
Green flag. I mean, Brad Greeley just illustrated the point. He is the lowest of the four, so ergo, fourth seed.
There you go. Alexis, what do you think?
Yeah, you know, I'm going to say black flag. Only because I feel like, you know, having that most popular driver behind him is always going to elevate him in the eyes of Hendrick Motorsports. So, unfortunately, even though Alex Bowman is running better than Chase Elliott, I still think he's unfortunately considered the fourth seed.
All right. Brad Gilley, we're off to you on this one here. Kyle Larson will at least double his win total by the time he retires.
Oh, so he's at 30 wins right now by the time... Oh, green flag all the way. Green flag. He's only 32 years old. He's got plenty of time.
Okay, Doug Rice?
Black flag. There's a bad year in there somewhere.
Ooh.
All right.
I could have told you that that is
that
what
coming.
Doug Rice was going to say.
There's a cloud at the picnic.
I saw that a mile away,
really?
Folks. I'm going to say green flag because you think, okay, he's 32, you know, Does he race till he's 42, 10 more years, 3 wins a season? Some he'll have less, some he'll have more. I think it's doable. I'm going to say green flag.
Kyle?
I think it's doable, but I'm going to say black flag.
Yeah,
I'm going to say I think 50 is going to be the new 200.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Or the new 100, whatever. Because I just think, in this day and time, and you talk about Hendrick winning 11 races, but that may switch to Chase Elliott winning 6 of those, or that may his teammates take wins away from him. So I just think it's going to be tougher.
All right, to Doug Rice we go right now to open this one up. It's time to wave goodbye to the burnout.
Green flag. Yep. It's been done over and over and over again.
No, black flag. Absolutely not. I mean, I think there are times in which, you know, you don't do it and there's, you know, some shine to that. But I think fans want to see burnouts. I think that's what they come to see when somebody gets that checkered flag.
I'm going to say green flag like Doug, because I'm going to say this, though, I know fans want to see it. But unless you can spell your name when you do the burnout, then don't do it. Don't
Ricky
do
Bobby.
It. Yeah, that's exactly right, baby.
Oh, that's great.
All right. What do you think, Brad?
I'll say black flag. I mean, do you not want a baseball team to come out of the dugout and cheer when someone hits a home run? Do you not want to see a football player spike the football and do some goofy dance or whatever? I want to see someone celebrate a win. I don't want to see them just wave at the crowd and go on into victory lane. Let's celebrate. Let's have a good time.
Just like Josh Berry did at Vegas. That didn't hurt.
He did a burnout after he got back in the car.
Can somebody tell me how old the burnout is?
That was a burnout.
Excuse me, burnout.
Yeah, does anybody know when the first burnout was done?
Because I remember that when they didn't have them.
Yeah, that just means you're old.
thank you very much for that reminder.
They've just been around forever. I don't know. Who did the first burnout?
Somebody.
Well, yeah. I realize that. That's a profound statement.
Who can we pin
somebody
that on?
Did the first one. Somebody. You know. I don't know.
I mean, that feels like a Kyle Busch, Kevin Harvick type thing.
Somebody has to have that intel somewhere.
Yeah, I'm sure it's there.
We'll
look into that and come back next week with some more information.
I think we go to Alexis Erickson on this one here. One more. Joey Logano will not have a top 10 before Easter.
I'm going to say black flag on that. I think he's had some bad luck. I think that team is just too good, meaning Penske as a whole. I mean, we've seen Ryan Blaney running well. We've seen Austin Cindric running well. Josh Berry's even gotten to victory lane. I just think that's too long to go without a top 10.
Very good. Okay.
Yeah. I say black flag. I just, because they've run in position to have top 10s. So if you can run in that position, if you can put yourself in that position to see a W and to do that, they're going to come. It's just been bad luck.
Yeah. Brad?
I'm going to go full Doug Rice. Say green flag. No top 10s for Martinsville, Darlington, and Bristol.
Get off my lawn.
Ooh.
No soup for you. Doug.
That's right.
No, he gets a top 10
somewhere. Look at that.
Boy, you softened.
I can't look at myself in the mirror if I keep just hammering people.
Now, if you said win before Easter, that's a different story. Damn. But,
and that's your green flag, black flag for today.
Coming back, one last thing.
From fueling NASCAR champions on the track for over 20 years to innovating 94 octane, the highest octane on the market. Performance is what Sunoco does. All Sunoco fuel at the pump meets the same top-tier standards as the fuel used in NASCAR. From the track to your tank, you can trust Sunoco to help your vehicle perform at its peak.
Motorsports isn't complicated. It's made up of races where you go as fast as you can, as best as you can, and as sideways as you can. Our team, Toyota Gazoo Racing. Toyota makes some seriously fast cars, and they all have great drivers, ones that win, like win a lot. Denny Hamlin, Christopher Bell, they're all part of a big, happy family of speed demons. Now you're up to speed. You in? Follow the action at TGRNA.com. Toyota, let's go places. NASCAR is a registered trademark of the National Association for Stock Car Auto Racing, LLC.
I'm Kevin Harvick, and you're listening to Fast Talk on the Performance Racing Network.
Anytime you get somebody at the front of the pack who's not used to running up there and who's not been there, the established names are going to scream. They're going to cry. They're going to whine. Oh, there's somebody else coming up here to get my trophy and get my money. It's Carson Hocevar. What's he doing up here? He had just as much right to get in there and force the issue. And if not for the caution, he's a race winner.
Hey, this is Doug Rice of the Performance Racing Network. That's Fast Talk right here on PRN.
Local radio brings people together like never before.
It's a beautiful hometown weekend out there. We've got
your local stations keep you informed and involved with music, talk shows, and real-time news updates you can trust. We are live and local. We are America's broadcasters, connecting you to what matters most. Text radio to 52886 and tell Congress to support your local radio stations.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to 4 messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
Always fun show, but there is no opportunity for a Fast Talk overtime, so we need to segue right now to this.
One last thing.
Brad Gilley, you're up.
Look, I'm always about getting people to the racetrack, and a lot of times it's more about just the racing. Go to your favorite Speedway's website, the one closest to you, and look at their events calendar. If you're in Charlotte, for example, not this weekend, but next weekend is the Auto Fair and Heritage Invitational. If you're coming to my home track, Texas Motor Speedway, May 2nd through 4th, get here May 1st, because on the Thursday and Saturday night of that weekend, Kyle Larson's High Limit Sprint Car Series will be there. Guys like Larson, Bell, Kane are all going to be racing. There are so many different events happening at all these Speedways all year round. There's more than just racing. Get yourself to the track.
Kyle Petty.
You know what? I have nothing. So let me go ahead and say that. I'm sitting here looking at this, and we talked earlier. We mentioned the basketball tournament that's going on right now. And as you watch these basketball tournaments, you'll see a number one seed play a number 15 or a number four play a number 10. And you inevitably look and say, I'm going to pull for the number 10. I'm going to pull for that underdog. You know what I mean? I mean, you just do. You just want to see that upset. I think in a lot of ways, that's what cup racing is on a regular basis. We pull for the Hendrick. We pull for the Gibbs. We pull for these teams and the Christopher Bells. But we want to see Carson Hocevar get up there and win. You know what I mean? We want to see Corey LaJoie in those rare incidents when he can get up there. We want to see somebody new. And I think that is quintessential America. And in a lot of ways, you pull for that person. But in the great words of Brad Gilley, once you win too much, we're going to pull against you. We just want you to go ahead and know
right.
that. You know what I mean? So know there's an end to this Cinderella story at some point in time.
David versus Goliath, for sure. Everybody likes to see that story. You know, I don't really have a whole lot of profound things to say either. So I'm just going to help to promote what we have going on next, which is the Food City 500 at Bristol Motor Speedway. If you can go to Bristol, be in the stands, experience that. If you've never done it before, please do it. I highly suggest it. It is one of the most electric atmospheres I think that there is in all of NASCAR. You can get tickets 866-415-4158. You will be able to hear Performance Racing Network on the radio if you cannot make it. But I highly recommend, if you can make it to Bristol, that's one to go to.
For sure.
I got to agree. You mentioned David and Goliath. By the way, there is a new mini series out called The Life of David. David got into a lot of trashy stuff, by the way. Just give you the backstory on that.
Wow.
So... Wow. Makes it a lot more interesting. He did more than just kill a giant. continuing on that theme, we had a guest minister at our church recently, and the guy was fascinating. He was a younger guy, but his delivery was a mix between Andy Griffith and Ted Lasso. He was from Tupelo, Mississippi.
Wow.
And he started talking, and you could look around, and the whole congregation was like, okay, I'm buying what you're selling. And he did a really nice sermon, but it was about affecting change. And that's when he quoted Michael Jackson's Man in the Mirror. You know, if you want to affect change, you got to look at yourself. That's where all change starts, is by examining yourself, and you have to make changes. I can apply that to racing. For these teams that are suffering right now and going through hard times, you can't wait for the competition to back up. You've got to make the change. You can also apply that in your life. You're in charge of more things about your life than anybody else. So go ahead, look in the mirror, and make that change. Thanks a lot for tuning into the show. We appreciate you. On behalf of Brad Gilley, Kyle Petty, Alexis Erickson, David Stiles, Kim Bernhardt, Harold Hammack, I'm Doug Rice. Back next week with a whole bunch more Fast Talk.
Fast Talk was presented by Toyota. For the latest Toyota Gazoo racing information, visit TGRNA.com. And by Sunoco. From NASCAR to your car, Sunoco Fuel helps your car reach peak performance. This is PRN, the Performance Racing Network.